I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Here we go. It is a Wednesday on the Daily Tip on the BetMGM Network. I'm Michael Jenkins. She is Chelsea Messenger. Coming up on the show, we get started with the college football playoff rankings and the Buckeyes sitting at number one after those were released last night. In 20 minutes, it is the midway point of the season in the NFL. Yesterday, we talked about the NFC. Today, we will tackle the AFC. Then we have my streaming corner at 6:40. I'm Michael Jenkins. She is Chelsea Messenger. Hi, Chelsea. Good morning.
Good morning, Jenks. I think I'm back to officially hating Wednesday.
Oh, no.
Because for a while during baseball season and the postseason, I said to myself, oh, Wednesday, no problem. We have postseason baseball. But now it's back to having to bet on the NBA. And I'm not thrilled about that. But at least today, we still have a lot to talk about. We have the college football playoff rankings. We have, you know, everything that happened before the trade deadline in the NFL. So from a talking standpoint, we will still have great content on the show, but in the back of my mind, I'm like, ugh, can't wait to decide between, you know, betting on the Pelicans or the Spurs.
Ooh, that's a tough row. That's a tough one right there. We'll get there. And plus, it's tough, too, when, you know, we care about the NBA to a point, but also we have the college football playoff rankings released. I mean, that's big news. And then yesterday was a trade deadline in the NFL. My attention span goes about this wide. Right here. So you start expanding into, hey, how are the Thunder doing against the Clippers? I'm like, I'll figure it out, guys.
Well, especially when it's the first of the season. And you know, like the first few weeks of the season don't really mean that much. Like, I understand the Thunder are still undefeated. Mm-hmm. But, like, the Thunder could lose, like, 5 games in a row and no one would be worried.
No, it's
like,
true.
Like, we would probably talk about it. But at the end of the day, it does not matter. So that's any sport at the start of the season when you play a long schedule.
Yeah, I get it. I get it early on in the NBA. I guess we can talk about it a little bit. Magic Hawks, how you feeling? I liked your play yesterday.
I liked it too, Jenks. You would think with the Hawks missing their star point guard and Trae Young,
you would,
that the Hawks would lose this game, and it was not the case. So I was on the Magic laying the points on the road at Atlanta, but the Hawks win it 127-112. This is the mystery of betting on the NBA. Oh, the star player is out? Lay the points with the other team. Not so fast, my friend. So the journey continues.
Well, I was on the Raptors -4.5 hosting the Bucks, and my thought was that Giannis won't play because it was the back end of a back-to-back. He had that game winner against the Pacers a couple nights ago. He did play. Still didn't matter. Bucks were tired, I guess, whatever. Had the Raptors -4.5. It came home. So had I known, when you talk about the mysteries of the NBA, had I known Giannis was definitely going to play, he was questionable going into this game, I would have been like, I don't know if I like this bet now. And yet it still won. So I'm like, yeah, that's right. I knew this was going to happen. I knew.
Right?
Yeah, I knew.
Betting on the NBA feels like you're like trying to guess the decisions of like a teenage boy. You're like, what are they going to do next?
Yeah.
Like, who knows?
Yeah.
Who knows?
Who knows?
We'll try it again today.
We will. Dockster just keeps following the Thunder trend. Thunder are 8-0 and also 8-0 against the number. Like, they're just unbelievable and not even fully healthy. So they take care of business against the Clippers 126-107. Like I was saying yesterday, the Clippers are old. They're old. And if you think they're old now, just wait until the end of the season. So for the week, Chelsea, you're 1-1. I'm 1-0. Denton is 3-1. 3-1. Still knocking it out of the park. Donkster 1-0 here on the Daily Tip on the BetMGM Network. It is great to have you with us on the midweek edition. College football playoff rankings released last night. So Ohio State 1, Indiana 2, followed by Texas A&M and Bama. Those are your top four. Georgia, Ole Miss, BYU, Texas Tech, Oregon, Notre Dame are the top 10. And then Texas and Oklahoma round out the top 12. So any surprises here or anything that stood out to you when these were released?
I feel like the biggest story here is your team, Jenks, Texas. And now it feels like the pathway feels like it's all in the driver's seat for the Longhorns. Because think about it. I think a lot of people thought, hey, we can't have a three-loss team come into, you know, the college football playoff and even like the top 10. But I feel like there's a pathway for Texas to do so because they're standing there at number 11 and they have a really tough schedule to end the year.
Yeah.
So they go on the road to Georgia. Then they finish the season at home against Texas A&M. And those are, you know, two teams that are both in the top five. So I think from the college football playoff rankings, we can tell like the strategy that the college football playoff committee is using, where they are not punishing those teams mm-hmm. for those tough non-conference games that they have scheduled in an effort to keep having teams schedule those games. So you look at Texas's loss against Ohio State, who is the number one team, mm-hmm. and it was the first week of the season with a new quarterback or a newish quarterback in Arch Manning, and it feels like the committee is not punishing them for that. Now you look at their loss against Florida, and you're like, well, what about that one?
That was good.
But it just feels like they are basing Texas ranking off like saying, hey, this is basically a one-loss team. So, James,
yeah.
you have to be feeling great.
Yeah, I feel great right now. Feels awesome. I mean, it doesn't feel awesome at 6:06 in the morning. You feel better if it were 9:06 in the morning. But, yes, I was surprised. I thought Texas would be on the outside looking in. But it's clear the committee values those high-end losses. You know, you don't want to lose a game. But certainly if you lose to Ohio State, then that's not going to be nearly as punitive than if you lose to Kennesaw State. So, of course, that made me happy. But I will also say that I think that, you know, there are some interesting things here. So Texas has a path now, right, because of that schedule. They also take on Arkansas, which is a longtime SWC rival from the Southwest Conference. So not necessarily an easy game there. But they have the bye this week. They need to get healthy, so that's good for the Horns. I was a little surprised. Oklahoma at 12 right there. But we were talking about this yesterday. Miami-Notre Dame, what's going to happen? Because Miami has the head-to-head over Notre Dame, and yet Notre Dame has had the better season since that loss, and here we are, Notre Dame sitting at 10 right now, whereas Miami is number 17 with two losses, so they're not even close. Eventually, they could maybe get there, but clearly, the committee values Notre Dame instead.
Yeah, the committee does not value the ACC, mm-hmm. and I understand you look at the list, you're like, well, look at, you know, Virginia. Those teams aren't getting in. Like, I know that they're there now and it's based on their, you know, wins and losses. It just feels to me that there is too much chaos going on in the ACC and it's just not.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Not a schedule that can, or excuse me, a conference that people believe in. Honestly, I feel like they give more credit to the Big 12. Mm-hmm. You know, if you look at all the teams from the Big 12 who are sitting in the top 12, or excuse me, top 15. So I think for me, it's more, I don't think anybody believes in the ACC.
Yeah.
Like maybe there's a pathway, but it feels like it's going to be a very steep uphill climb and some other teams are going to have to lose.
Yeah, it kind of feels that way as well. And I also think that, you know, there are going to be some people who make a case for more teams from the SEC, which I don't know. I try not to get caught up in SEC over everything. Like, I am definitely not an SEC guy just because Texas is suddenly in the SEC. I said this even when Texas was in the Big 12. Like, I'm conference agnostic. I don't care. I just want my team to win and everyone else to lose. Then what'd you think? You're a big college football guy. You know the system here.
I was intrigued by some of this stuff. You know, I love that they have BYU and Texas Tech exactly one spot away from each other, and they play this weekend. So that's going to be a whole lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
And that is now the most important game of the weekend. You know, I do find it. So Alabama beats Georgia and they're one spot. Georgia beats Ole Miss and they're one spot. But then you have that massive discrepancy between Notre Dame and Miami. And generally speaking, I subscribe to the principle that the games have to matter. If you play each other okay. and then one team wins and one team loses, there needs to be a very noticeable, hey, the team that beat the team that lost is ranked higher. But because of the very unique aspect of what is happening with Miami, which is where Carson Beck is taking off the mask, and you're like, oh, yeah, this is exactly who he is, they are clearly recognizing that as well.
Yeah.
And Notre Dame is clearly on the ascension. Miami is in what I would describe as a free fall with, you know, Stanford mixed in there. Sorry, Stanford.
Classic Miami.
I mean, they're on a free fall right now. And the scary thing is they haven't even had the game where Mario Cristobal is going to screw it all up. They just had two bad games from the quarterback. So I thought that I just found that to be very interesting. And then, you know, I texted you this weekend that Texas is back in there.
Yeah.
They have the avenue to be the first three loss team to get in because their resume is as strong as it is.
That's true. I like hearing that. Love hearing that. I will also say that I thought that Oregon was maybe a touch low. Maybe I'm wrong. They only lost to Indiana, but aren't they being punished a little bit by what would have been maybe a couple months ago a great win over Penn State and now looks like, oh, well, that wasn't as good as we thought. But that loss by Penn State is maybe the trigger for why the Nittany Lions started spiraling. So I thought Oregon was a touch low here.
Well, it's you look at their schedule and like what's their signature win? Like I don't think they have a single win over a ranked opponent.
Yeah.
I'm looking and I'm not finding one because they lost to Indiana and that was the only ranked team who's currently still ranked on their schedule. But if you do look at the last three games remaining for them, okay, so they have Minnesota this week at home. Maybe not a speed bump there, but then they have number 20 USC, and then they finish the season at Washington, who is, you know, a really tough place to play. And Oregon and Washington, like, if it's not a rivalry, but I do think those two teams are very familiar with each other, obviously both coming from the West Coast. So there could be some potential pitfalls for Oregon. I don't think that they will lose those games, but it will be interesting down the stretch. And that's the thing about these rankings, that some of these things will play themselves out.
Yeah.
So I know people love to look at the potential matchups, but it just does not matter right now because we see this every season. There is chaos down the stretch that ensues in college football. So I will not be betting on these matchups just yet or, you know, laying out my bets because it feels like the matchups can still change.
Yeah, I think the Oregon case is really curious because, yeah, you look back now and you say, okay, well, they don't really have a signature win. But that win at Penn State was a signature win. Like going into Happy Valley in that environment, in a whiteout where Penn State was favored by many to win a national title, and they get that dub in overtime. It's a massive win. It's a huge win. The problem is that that win actually sent Penn State into a spiral because all of a sudden it feeds into the old trope, Penn State can't win the big one under James Franklin, so they go to UCLA, they lose to Northwestern, Franklin gets fired, but it was because Oregon beat them in the way that they did. So Oregon in some ways is getting punished for its own success because in most years we look at that win and say that is a signature win on the road in an impossible environment, but because they sent the Ducks where they did or the Nittany Lions where they did, all of a sudden we look back and say Oregon really hasn't beaten anybody. I don't necessarily think that's fair.
Right. I think that you certainly have a case to argue there, especially when your only loss on the season is to the number two team
right
in the land. So you're looking down at Texas and you're like, hey, like they lost to an unranked team. They're not that far behind us. Like what's going on here?
Yeah. Also, you ask yourself a simple question. If Penn State wins that game, and it was really close, do you think Penn State falls apart the way it does? No, not at all. They would probably be undefeated right now. So I think that's one thing that, you know, when you're looking at numbers and when you're just looking at, okay, who have they beat? You say, oh, they haven't beaten anybody. But that's not really the case. It's because of that win that Penn State fell apart. So kind of intriguing there. Oregon right now sitting at the 9 spot. If the playoffs started today, they would take number on. Or who would they face? They would face number 8, Texas Tech, which would be an interesting matchup there. Also, I also thought that when you look at going back to Notre Dame and Miami for a second, I wanted to get some insight on exactly how they look at that. And Mac Rhodes, who is the, you know, the CFP chair, basically said, yeah, I understand the head-to-head part of that, and that is certainly part of the equation. But as D-Day alluded to, all things being equal, I think you have to lean towards head-to-head. But if you're looking at the totality of the season and how teams have fared since that battle, then you have a longer runway and you have more things to look at. And clearly, that's what Rhodes and the rest of the committee did.
Right. And at the end of the day, like their goal is to make good college football playoff games as well. And so, right. Like, if you have a team that's in an absolute free fall, like, you don't want to include that team because, you know, we've seen the writing on the wall. This is not a good team at the end of the season. So I understand where they're going there. It'll be interesting. Jenks, your Longhorns, 30-1 to win the national championship. Looks like they have a good pathway to get in the college football playoff. They were the preseason number ones. Worth a sprinkle?
Maybe. I don't know. I need to see Sark put together an offensive game plan for more than 1 week. More than 1 week, Sark. Keep Arch upright. The kids, he's okay. He's all right. Okay? Maybe a sprinkle. 30-1? Not too shabby. Come up next. Oh, yeah. We got midway point of the season in the NFL. So are we actually betting on the Bills again for the fourth straight year? A look at the AFC is next on the Daily Tip here on the BetMGM Network.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.